Jesus, therefore, when he knew that they would come to take him by force and make him king, fled again into the mountain, himself alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. For the second time this Lent, we meet the multiplication of bread and a proffered kingship to Christ. These are two of the three temptations in the desert we saw on the first Sunday of Lent. But today, our Savior, no politician, he doesn't promise, he delivers, gives a miraculous bread only as a sign of that bread with which we will be fed, angels' bread. They miss the point, the 5,000 do. And then they offer our Lord in their enthusiasm without thinking it through, offer, they insist that Jesus be their king. Not all the kingdoms of the world, that's not presented to Christ, and the glory of them, Satan offered that. Just that little postage stamp of Palestine. They're still fighting over it today. But back then, those were the remnants of the non-Roman ruled Israel and Judea. But it was their homeland. It was our Lord's native country, too. Surely, they reasoned, here in this teacher and miracle worker, we have as well our deliverer come to set us free. And there they were thinking, well, we're 5,000 strong. We've seen the miracle. We've eaten the bread. And they stood ready to take up arms. This Jesus, they would make him their king. And all would be well. Ah, but mere passing politics, power, has no interest for our Savior. My kingdom is not of this world. They could not make him king, Bishop Sheen notes, because he was born a king. The wise men knew this, but what do they know? They were foreigners. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? They asked Herod. Kings are mostly Herods or Henry VIII's. Now, what kind of a throne did these men have in mind for Christ? Never mind, his only throne would be a cross, and thorns would make his crown. You know, it was this rejection of political power which first soured Judas, the traitor, on Christ. He would not accept temporal sovereignty to be king for a day or even a dynasty. How long would it stay? This is what Satan offered him, and he said no. This is what the mob offered him, and he said no. And the offer wasn't on the table very long. By Good Friday, the cheap popularity was gone, and those same ones who had been fed in the mouth with miracle bread use their mouths to cry out, "We have no king but Caesar." Politics. Politics, surely, has no place amongst us. Never mix them, right? That's the received wisdom, religion, I mean, in politics. Our two separate domains, divided like church and state, by Jefferson's wall. The mere fact that such a sentiment should be an unquestioned truism amongst us, 21st century Americans, but Catholics first, Catholics who proudly hail the cross, Catholics who follow the King in his body, the Church, Catholics who understand about Vatican II and the Pope and the Mass and doctrine. If politics for us has no place from the pulpit, it shows only that the Prince of Peace has no place in society anymore. He is King, then, no more, if Catholics confine Christ to the sanctuary, to Sunday, to the dark, hidden recesses of the heart, or even of the home. Is it any wonder that the carefully laid plans of the communist revolution proceed step by step, everything foreseen, all planned, humming along nicely? Let Jesus be excluded, and human reason is left without its greatest protection, bereft of safe guidance and fixed principle. The words of Pope Leo XIII. I preached about this, I came across a sermon yesterday, 20 years ago, one October day for Christ the King. His reign on earth has in our day, back then and today, well nigh been abolished, and he is to be silent. You have the right to remain silent, and that's about the only right you have, poor Jesus. Quieter, shh, quieter before the powers of this world than ever before Pilate, official representative of the world empire of his day. 20 years ago, what happened? Step one of the Great Reset. Remember how it was described as an achingly beautiful September morning. Our empire was symbolically reduced to rubble, and with it, our rights, so as to be replaced with another system by stealth. The ruins were still smoking 40 days later, and another false flag was hoisted, that business of poison in the mail. Do you remember that? No? Well, there were so many in those early first stages of what it has now emerged as a worldwide communist revolution, and our own government turning against us in ways too terrible to contemplate, much less to say out loud, and so we don't. The Catholic response is the very opposite of revolution. Hatred, such hatred, must give way to love, the love of God first, and then for his sake of man. And lies must be unmasked. Sorry. The world is lost for silence, cried St. Catherine of Siena. Lies must be replaced with truth, and disorder yield to order. We want Christ to reign over us, not with a political, but with a spiritual agenda. Not with the enthusiasm of a day, still less with the terror that goes about by night, which is fear. But this is a war, Please remember, cowards need not apply. COVID, tyranny, racial hatred, the reversal of the natural law, the reversal of reason itself. All of these are simply the latest tactics. Oh, and don't forget the jab they want you to get. The sharp needle will be felt, not just for a moment, I fear, but in full measure one day in the future. We have our work cut out for us, and for our patron, we have the patron saint of those who work. Our campaign, says Pope Pius XI, is a vast one. The campaign of the Church against world communism has been placed, said Pope Pius, under the standard of Saint Joseph, our mighty protector. Now, hear the teaching of the Church. Church and state are two perfect societies, independent, self-sufficient. Nevertheless, the Church has an indirect but a real power over civil affairs, the right to decide what helps or hinders man's life in attaining the goal of his life, eternal life. The state is not the first arbiter of morality. The Church is the divinely appointed guardian of the whole moral order. Now, of all the great issues of the day, I was trying to make a list to myself early this morning, whether there's religion and science and economics and education and medicine and banking and taxes, wars, bombing people, commerce, trade, immigration, families, children, babies, and breathing. Can you think of one in which men do not sin, and in which God could not be glorified, his kingdom spread or suppressed? My people perish, cried the prophet of the Old Testament, for lack of knowledge. Now, if God is honored or offended, if souls are lost or won, we must speak. Look, if the Church could have, would have, early on in Germany, stopped a Hitler by consistently preaching that National Socialism is paganism, or a Lenin or a Stalin, that International Socialism is the madness of atheism, China with Mao, would she not have garnered the praise of those who would silence her today? It's not about politics, Democrat versus Republican, the policies of those who are satisfied as long as they've eaten for today, especially out of somebody else's pocket, but rather, it is about poisoned bread, to cry out the warning, throw it out, don't eat it any longer. It is about the bread which feeds us for forever. Stock up on it now. Jesus, who is the truth, is your king. Follow him forever. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.